Today I'd like to talk to you about LSA View, a tool that we developed at Sandia National Laboratories for exploring the impacts of different parametric choices in our algorithm on the kind of final result in terms of text analysis. We are going to talk today about some kind of concepts for text analysis and the motivation behind our work. Then we'll move on to describe what our approach to this algorithmic analysis is, look at LSA View in some detail, and then we have two parametric case studies, one that will look at rank selection and the other that will look at singular value scaling. Then I'll present my conclusions. With latent semantic analysis, you're taking a corpus of unstructured text and you're mapping it into a concept space, and you're using a low rank approximation in order to have a level of abstraction in that concept space. So depending on how you truncate your matrices, you will get different results. And this will be one of the parameters that we look at today. This concept space can be used for doing information retrieval, for evaluating relationships between terms in the documents, or for clustering the documents themselves. The documents are put into a vector space model using basically a bag of words concept, where you're counting up the number of terms in each document, you're doing a weighting on that, and you're approximating the matrix that you get with that with this truncated SVD. The truncated SVD creates three different matrices as output, U, sigma, and V. And the second parameter that we're going to be looking at today has to do with the scaling that we use against the sigma, the singular values. We will be looking at document similarity graphs as an evaluation of how our analysis is being impacted by these parameter choices. We create that using cosine similarities, and each of these outputs a sparse matrix that has a document per vertex, and each row is defining an edge. So we have weights associated with each edge, and we do a thresholding so that any weights that are below a certain level are thrown away from the graph. Our motivation is that with the algorithmic choices that we have, we get very, very different models. And as you can see here, a rank of 10, you're seeing quite a few clusters. It starts to separate out, and then as you move along in terms of increasing rank, things move back together into kind of a giant blob. And the question is where's the sweet spot here where the analyst who is going to be interested in finding groups of documents that have meaning to them, topics that are related to each other, where do you have things separating in a way that makes sense? Which rank should you use? We'll be analyzing things in a visual way, and we will be looking at conceptual groupings. We'll look at the document layout. We'll look at changes in the link strength between documents. So as you can see in the little sample to the side, you have quite a big difference in not only the groupings but also the strengths between things. What we want to see is we want to see, somebody yesterday had said a similar sort of thing. You want to see a very tight grouping within a cluster that has strong links, and you want to have either no links at all between the clusters or very low edge weights between them. We will be focusing today on, as I said before, rank, where we're trying to find the sweet spot between the extremes, and we will be looking at similarity computation, in particular singular value scaling. LSA View is the application that we've created, and there's a lot to it, and I'm trying to really just give you a very quick rundown on it. But basically, we have graph views that are showing us this clustering information, and you can see here we've highlighted this particular cluster that we're interested in and how it moves. We have a matrix view that is showing the edge weights in a color-coded format, and it's scalable and it's zoomable. So since you won't have enough pixel real estate on your screen to actually look at each of the edges, once you get into a fairly good size graph, what we provide are, and the same is true here, you're having a difficult time seeing the interior. We have these you are here views, which allow you to have context as you zoom in and are looking at details within these two views here. For each of these panels, there's one on this side and one on this side. We can do a difference matrix between the edges. So this is actually a comparison where we've subtracted the edge weights. But at the same time, we can also substitute for the color coding that's used on the matrix views, all three of these at the bottom here. And in addition to looking at things such as the direct edge weight, we also have computed the mean and standard deviation, looking at kind of a neighborhood around each edge weight. And then in the differences in the center here, we also are able to look at other statistical things between the two different graphs. So we've got this comparison set up for two graphs, but then this here, the small multiples view, provides us with a very high-level view where we can look at a range of them. So here we're looking at five different ones, and in each of these it's sort of an index into the differences are between this one and this one. And so basically the head of it and the tail of it in terms of the column are the two that are being compared in each case. And then on this side we have documents where you can actually go in and read the text to verify the things that you're seeing in the graphs, to, as a human being, actually look and say, oh, does this text fit what we think it should? Our first case study is looking at rank selection, and we're using the 2003 Document Understanding Conference data. There are 298 Newswire documents, and the documents, because it was a summarization contest, were in 30 clusters. And we find this particularly helpful in evaluating how we're doing in our tool, because then we can see whether we have good clustering within the tool. We're looking at rank. Once again, this is going to be where we're truncating. And we're going to use an iterative approach. So we're going to look in the small multiples view and try and winnow down the ranks that we think are likely. We're going to compare them using those close-up two panels and the differences, and then we're going to go in the document view and validate. In a first pass, we are looking at ranks of a very broad range, as you can see on the left. By the time you're up to 140, it's pretty incomprehensible. So we, after several iterations, have taken our rank down to this range of 28 through 32. And we then go in and look at groups of them, two by two. And here we're looking at two that are rank 30 and rank 32. And we're using this statistical view that I was talking about, where we're looking at the anomalous edge weights, which will be highlighted in bright green. The t-test is evaluated using this equation here. And given the time, I can't really go into things, but look at the paper. All the equations are there. And if you'll notice that you're seeing kind of a bright green here in terms of the t-test coloring, which means that the edges that are associated with this are of interest, and we should go and take a closer look. So going in, we are now doing the side-by-side comparison, and we're zoomed in, and you can see in the you are here views that this is where we're at in each one of these two layouts. In this one, we have a cluster that contains document 297, and it is not connected to this cluster, whereas here we are having this as the bridge between these two clusters. So the question is do we want to have this edge or not? Does it make sense to have this rank? And by manual inspection, we go in and we look at document 297, and we see that it is basically about Chinese policy on separatists, so it's a policy article. cluster one, on the other hand, is looking at a specific event. It's the trial of three Chinese separatists. And cluster two is another policy-based set of articles relating to Russian policy, not Chinese policy, but it's basically a policy theme in general. So we decide that the policy theme is the best match for 297, and we conclude that the rank of 30 is the best. We wanted to compare what we were doing to the previous automated methods. So our conclusion was that the rank of 30 was best, but because of the fact that these automated selection methods are looking at variance in selecting things, they want to increase the variance, and as you can see, the selections that they make are the ones that we immediately discarded at the very beginning. And our emphasis here is looking at how the results of the text analysis are going to be used. And if you have analysts who are coming in and who are trying to get some sense of the topics within documents, you want to have this clustering. And we feel that the variance is not what we want to be looking at, that we want to be looking at it from a human point of view. The second case study that we did was singular value scaling. And we used the TEC data, which is a subset of this TEC 100 test collection. And here we have 150 HTML documents, and they're basically partitioned into two clusters. We're looking at the singular value scaling. So alpha in the equation below is what we're going to be adjusting. But it's complicated by the fact that we have to be making a rank selection in addition. So we're kind of layered the two different decisions. So the first thing that we want to do is we want to understand how the singular values for alpha against the rank are going to change things. And here, this graph is not out of LSA view, but looking at a graph of the values, the original singular values that we used in just the normal view is an alpha of 2. For alpha less than 0, we are going to have an inversion where the novel things will pop out. If we're doing between 0 and 2, we're contracting the weights, and alpha greater than 2, then we're expanding them. So looking at all of this, we decide that we really want to be looking at a rank of less than 45, and that if we get greater than 45, that these inverted scalings are going to amplify the noise in our data. So once again, we go in with the small multiples, and we're now looking at between, you know, this is kind of further justification using the tool. Not I put the graph in so you could see it more clearly, but looking at the tool, you can also see that if you're looking at a rank of 100, once again, big blobs, a rank of 20, that we're seeing some cluster formation. So immediately you can see that there's little difference in the weights, and that we want to be looking at these lower values for K. So moving on, now we're actually going to get into the singular values themselves, and we're going to be looking at a value of 1 versus minus 1. So we're going to be looking at these two different scalings that produce this graph. And in this case, they both have distinct clusters, and that although you have slightly stronger links in the alpha minus 1, both scalings perform well. So in this case, we don't have as definitive of an answer, but it does put you into various ranges to see what you're going to get in the way of clusters. We have the actual labeled data from this particular data set, and I don't know if you all can see from a distance, but the blue colored are one topic, one group, and the red colored nodes are another. So we have a pretty good division in terms of the two clusters for these ranks and values of alpha. In conclusion, we have illustrated how LSA view can be used to understand LSA models. We can use this for seeding of other models, in particular the graph models, and we show the impact on the document clustering task. It is a key departure from previous work in that it produces a significantly different rank selection than the automated approaches do, but it's focusing on the impact to the text analysis task over variance. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Hello, I think this is a very impressive work, and I have a couple of questions. First, do you think your suite of methods could be applied to detecting term document dependency or term and term dependency?
Yes, I think that just as you create the document similarity matrix, once you have it in that sort of graph matrix format, you can use the tool to do any of those things.
Okay, and the second question is, so with the known clusters, like the document has already been assigned labels, topics, we would be able to validate what type of topics and what the similarity of content they show. But if we don't know the clusters beforehand, so we have totally unsupervised data set, do you think this method would be able, or do you have any experiments on showing the efficacy of this method to detect clusters with consistent topic?
We developed this with the idea that we would not have labeled data, but we used labeled data for the paper because we wanted to look back and say, yes, indeed, we got the results that we thought we would. There's nothing about this that requires a supervision or a labeled data set.
Okay, so then how you choose the right, I mean, so can you go back to the documents and said this cluster yield meaningful clusters of documents with the cover similar keywords?
It's very much a human in the loop type of tool.
Okay.
You're visually seeing the clusters in the graph views. You go in, and the idea is to read as little of the document collection as possible, but if you want to evaluate whether a particular cluster makes sense, the document view allows you as the human being to go in, read it, say, I think that this cluster is about whatever. There isn't a sense of, you know, automated topic selection.
Okay. And a third very quick question, do you find this method is sensitive to the graph layout algorithm, a different algorithm, different clusters?
Yes, it is. And what we've done, I didn't talk about it, but we have the ability to switch the layout algorithm as part of the tool. So since we've built this on the VTK Titan framework, we're able to use any of the graph layout algorithms that are available there. And because it's open source, if you wanted to put your favorite graph layout algorithm in there, you could add that in and, you know, change how you're doing the layout.
Thank you very much.
Graham Wills from SPSS and IBM Company. Just had to rename myself. Couple of points on the statistical tests you're doing. First is that since you're doing multiple tests effectively on each of the links, one of the reasons you're not seeing any success at all trying to use like a 95% confidence level or probability level to allow you to choose the levels of ranks to use is because of that multiple testing. If you look at some of the literature for multiple testing in statistical trials, you'll probably be able to find a better way of doing it if you want to go down that route of trying the more automatic way of choosing the number of ranks. Another suggestion might also be to consider, rather than using the t-test, to use chi-squared based tests, since you're talking essentially at the bottom level about counts and trying to integrate that in better. I've done some work on that for document analysis and graphs, and it seems to do a better result on average and allows you to incorporate tables a bit better.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, say again? Yes. Okay, thank you.